Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I taught it a good thing this morning that we should come to the table of the Lord called the communion table. Some call it the Eucharist. By the way, that Latin word comes from the Greek, and it means thanksgiving. A table of thanksgiving. Now we give thanks for that which we have received. This communion table has been a source of contention and misinformation and traditions of men, which Jesus said of those traditions, they make void, they make of no effect the word of God. You know, it's interesting to note this. There is an arm of the Secret Service that deals with counterfeiting. And as these agents are trained, the only thing that they are exposed to is the real money. And they become so familiar with that document that they are able to immediately recognize the counterfeit. You know, at this table, as Jesus blessed the bread and blessed the wine, his instruction was to do this in memory or remembrance of me. The Apostle Paul says in the 29th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," and I point out this every time, that word is an adverb. It describes an adverbs speak to verbs. It describes the manner of partaking. Paul says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So today, as we make an attempt to show you all the real, that you may become so familiar with Jesus as we are remembering him at this table, I want to take us to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. In the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, we have a description of what is known as the perfect servant. Let's read. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set forth before them, God speaking. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, slave, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go free out. For nothing. No price for freedom. 6 years. Seventh goes free. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. And he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve his master, shall serve him forever. Jesus came into this world by himself, by the power of God and the Spirit of God. He kinned himself with us in the flesh. He says, he had the opportunity after living a perfect life to go from this life back into eternity by himself to be forever with God, our Father. But during this habitation in the flesh, He took a wife and had children. He still could have gone out free, but he said, I love my master. I love my father. Wife and children. And therefore, he had his ear type of the crucifixion bored through with an awl. I have some notes in my Bible. I'll just read them to you. We are his wife and children. During his time, he married, tented in human flesh, gave himself to be nailed, that he might live with us and his master, God, whom Jesus called his father and told us to call him our father, that he might live with us and his master, God, the Father, forever. You hear no pleading from the wife and the children to do this. He did it of his own free will. There's nothing that we, the wife and children, can be found doing but being beneficiary recipients of what the perfect servant Jesus Christ has done. Jesus did this. It is a beautiful picture of the love that Jesus not only had for his Father, but for we, his wife and his children. Before we go and partake of these elements, let's do a little more discerning. Isaiah 53, King James reads, "Who has believed our report?" I would tell you that the Hebrew says, Bea manuto, and in that Hebrew word, in the middle of it, we find the root, who has amened our report? Who has put no doubt in our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the arm of the Lord, revealed? Always at the God School, we're trying to, through the Word of God, reveal to His wife and His children who we are dealing with and what He has done. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. This is speaking of acacia wood, something that we all have in common. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He looked tinted in flesh and blood, just like everyone else. He was kinned with us. Speaking of Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as our faces, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that's a great story. But when we look deeper into the original Hebrew words, it becomes a fantastically wonderful story. In the third verse, it says, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In the fourth verse, it says, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'd like to look at those words for a minute. It says, acquainted with grief in the third verse. It says, borne our griefs in the fourth verse. This word in the Hebrew is choli. And we find it used and its derivatives 29 times in the Old Testament and 27 times it's translated sickness, disease, or infirmity. We have in the 103rd Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And bless his holy name, for he forgiveth all thine iniquity and healeth all thy diseases. Choli. Why the translators chose this word grief, it's not wrong, but in the ambiguity of the Hebrew, the definition, grief, is at the bottom of the list. sickness, disease, infirmities. And this word sorrow? The word in the Hebrew is machab. And it talks of pain, pain from the sickness, disease, or infirmity. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, it says, the Hebrew word being translated chastisement here is musar. And it is that which is required to restore something that was lost. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them perfectly. But when they put their trust in Satan and not God, they were moved out of the garden, out of the presence of God, and that which was perfect began to show imperfections, sickness, disease, infirmity. And that which was required to restore to that beginning state here, it says that which was required to restore us, to restore our peace, our shalom, wholeness, wellness, back to that original state. State that God, that Jesus's wife and children shall be. With Him, the chastisement of our shalom was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has, past tense, has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Best description, I think, in all of Scripture, describing sin All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Think on this. But Jesus said at the Last Supper, when he took the cup and blessed it and took the bread and blessed it, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We've taken some snapshots, photographs, perhaps even a short video of who the scripture tells us that Jesus is, so that as we take this bread this morning, or whenever you hear this message, that having seen and heard, you now have discernment. And in a worthy manner, partake worthily, discerning what this bread, nothing but a symbol. It wasn't a little round wafer that Jesus took. It was broken bread. And he said, of the symbol of the bread, that this was his body, which was given for us. Back to that perfect servant passage. Why the bread? It was an act of love for his wife and his children. There was no requirement of this. You didn't have to talk Jesus into healing. Everywhere he went, he healed. And Isaiah tells us, the source of our healing. I know. Look, I'm in the midst of having to see doctor after doctor in these particular days. And I'm doing it because I believe that doctors also are a gift from God. But I understand the source of all healing, and it is through the stripes of Jesus. We begin there. And continue there. As we take this bread, say with me that with the stripes of Jesus, as Peter said, we were healed. This is a statement of faith. This is a faith action because God promised it. and with a state of mind of no doubt, we say as we take it, by his stripes we were healed. This cup, it was a cup of wine. Not grape juice, as tradition again makes of no effect. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is discerning. This cup is a symbol. It's a symbol of his blood. Blood is the symbol of the life of the Son of God, which he gave because he loved his master, wife, and children. Can you take this cup? Will you take this cup? In a no doubt state of mind. It's another word, amen, another word for faith, but it goes just a little bit higher. That the Lord laid on him all our iniquities, and we are cleansed, purified by the blood, by the life of Jesus Christ, which he gave for his father and for his wife and children. No guilt at this table. None qualify. We are made worthy the blood of the Lamb as we partake worthily in a worthy manner and lifting the cup with all thanksgiving. Knowing what Jesus did for us. That we are his wife, his children. And we, through Jesus Christ and what he did, shall spend eternity with our master and with our husband. Take the cup, thanking Jesus, thanking the Father for his grace. Amen. And that's the God School for today.